Tony Sage joins us here on Sports Day. Obviously, it's been a big couple of weeks for him personally and his club, the Perth Glory. Welcome, Tony.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. Sorry I'm late.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I know that you've just done live TV, but I thought it was important that we got to your side of the story here on 882 6PR. Mate, can you take us back to, you know, who the first person it was that you met at LFE and when and how that shirt sponsorship came about in the first place?
Yeah, well, look, this is where the story gets lost, and I've just met these guys and I got conned. These guys sponsored the whole game against Chelsea, where we had, as you know, 55,000 people. So I met the head guy there. We then did a sponsorship on the back of a shirt deal. He then went to buy a club on the Eastern States. They came to an arrangement, and again, it didn't come to fruition for some for whatever reason. I think it was more about money. Over the last few months, I've gone to London. I've caught up with the guy. And he just said, look, we're in the middle of a negotiation with the EPL club, but it looks like it's going to take a long time. Do you want to be the first club in Australia? And I said, make me an offer. And about 4 weeks later, they made an offer, which was 2 weeks ago. And I did the right thing. I said, yeah, okay, that's interesting. I'll come and talk to you about it in London on my next trip. So I sort of agreed terms, what I wanted out of it. They wanted 100% of the club. I said, no way. I wanted 80. I got them down to only 80 instead of 100. Then the money obviously changed on that part of the deal because they couldn't have 100%. So all those things happened. So when I finally agreed to go to London, I decided, which I think was my only mistake in this process, was to call all the players in and the staff, because I was leaving for Zurich on a business trip first before I got to London. And I didn't want the players who were heading to Tokyo to wake up in the morning of the game saying the club's been sold from under them. And that would have been distracting for the most historic game in the club's history. So from that point, it leaked when it shouldn't have leaked. And once it leaks, people start talking. So that's basically the chronology from when I met them 18 months ago, very casually, because I didn't know them before that. We didn't organise the sponsorship for the game. That was done by the promoter of that game.
So when did you first meet Jim Aylward? Was it just on this recent trip?
No, I met him, as I said, when I go to London, I go to Chelsea games. Both of those guys were behind the LFE go for Chelsea. So I've met them at probably four Chelsea games since the time that they came out with Chelsea.
So who's the guy... times. Who was the guy? Who was the go-between then? Who was the guy that you met, say, through the Chelsea connection that you were talking about off the top of the show?
It was the guy I originally met was a guy called Ben Hunt. So he was right. The one that organised everything for and behalf of LFE. I didn't meet Jim until probably 7 months later. He didn't come out to Australia on that trip.
So, Tony, with the LFE and they put out the video statement saying that they'd acquired the Perth Glory, did you sign anything? Because why would Jim Aylward come out and make that release and make it public the way that he did? And he spoke to Gareth Parker here on 6PR.
Yeah, look, absolutely idiotic. And I say that in the strongest terms, because that's what I said to him. I said, what are you doing? I haven't even left... Zurich to come to London to do DD. Why are you telling everyone that the deal's done when it's not done? His story was he panicked because it leaked and he had to get it out there for the token side of the business, which he runs, and the football side of the business is run by Ben. So there are two different, one runs the cryptocurrency side, one runs that. So he wanted, obviously, to tell everyone that the deal's done, so token side of the business would start to take off. Now, that's the only explanation that I can give. He shouldn't have done it. I was very angry when he did it, because then all the questions come up, and it forced me to make two statements. One I made on my own personal Facebook page, and the other one was on the Facebook page of the club and the website, which clearly stated there was no sale yet. I was there only going over there to do due diligence.
Were you aware of the background of Jim prior to Gareth Parker breaking the story? Of course, we've since found out he's had a few different identities.
Yeah, I found out, no, I didn't know about the identities. I found out about his past on the Sunday when I was in London with him, going through a questionnaire that makes you a fit and proper person to hold a license. So that is part of the due diligence process on any club new owner coming in. You have to go through these checklists. And when I said, have you had a criminal conviction, he just looked at me and said, yes. And then he explained to me what had happened. And then I said, well, was that the only one? He said, no, there was another one. And I said, what was that for? Then he told me about the fraud. So basically, I'd made up my mind at that point, which was on the Sunday. I flew back and then told the FFA, I presume, on the Monday.
At any time, were you confident that the London Football Exchange had the financial capacity to carry out your transaction? But then, obviously, their plan was to go on and buy another seven or eight clubs. And I imagine EPL clubs don't come cheap.
Yes, I did have that. They raised, they had 4 billion tokens out there. They raised their money already. They had that part of the business up and running. And that was the one that I was worried about. But when I saw that they were trading, the tokens were trading, and the money raising had been done some 8 or 9 months earlier. So there was no problem on the money side. Whether they had any left in the bank, we were going through that process. But once it got past the criminal charge, I said, Jim, we can't do this. I mean, the FFA will not approve. And then he was trying to do another way around it by him not being a part of the board or anything. And I said, well, that doesn't work because you'll be a shareholder. So that's when I knew it would not be able to be worked.
Did you sign a letter of intent on the 27th of December? And what sort of price were they going to pay you?
No price was actually agreed. That letter that was bandied around, that was for 100% of the club. Right. In fact, I had the document in front of me, which was 35 pages long, so I know that document wasn't the right one that was shown on the TV last night. So I had a 35-page document, which clearly stated 80% of the club. I was going there for two reasons, DD, and finalising the price for the club. So it was nowhere near $30 million. I mean, you've got to have rocks in your head to think that a club that loses between 2 and 3 a year is worth $30 million.
Who was your crypto advisor, Tone? Because, I've got very little knowledge of it. Paul Hazelby across the desk knows a little bit more about it than I do. And what part did Paul Carroll, if any, have to play in this?
Paul Carroll had nothing to play in this. He met LFE through another source, which was Bitcoin.com. Which he represents. So the LFE token business wanted to list on Bitcoin. They met, and coincidentally, he said, oh, I know Tony Sage. I used to be a director on the foundation side, and that's how that came about. But there's no way. I use Simon McDonald. Simon McDonald is he used to work for me, moved back to London. So Simon's not an expert, but he knows 10 times more than I do in cryptocurrencies. He's an ex-fund manager. He came to Australia, lived in Australia, in Perth, for probably 4 or 5 years, then he moved back to London. So he's the guy I was using as my expert.
Do you think cryptocurrency has a future in sport and football from the information that you've gathered in the last few days?
Absolutely. It's going to happen. Look, Barcelona, Man City, West Ham, Arsenal, I didn't know any of those clubs used it. They use it on a different level, so no one's actually used it yet for owning a club, but they use it for merchandise sales. They use it for ticket sales when you're in there for food and beverage. So you buy these tokens and you get these sort of discounts. So those clubs are using it already. There will be clubs around the world that will be using it. In America, they're using it big time with college athletes, whether it's NBA or NFL. What these guys are doing, they're buying their future earnings and they're tokenizing them. So if you've got an 18-year-old superstar basketball in college, they can go up and give you $1 million for 10% of your future earnings. They're tokenizing that now. So it's happening all over the place in different ways, but no one yet has managed to do it for owning a club.
Just back to LFE, did you receive, did you buy any tokens during this process, Tony?
No, No, not at all. I don't know how to use it. I don't know what a wallet is, an e-wallet. I don't know how that works.
So given what's been unearthed here, what do you reckon? I mean, do you think that they're running a scam, or do you reckon these blokes are fair dinkum?
I'm absolutely sure they're fair dinkum. They have shown me correspondence with clubs, other clubs, French club, EPL club, that they've been communicating with in doing this process. What I'm concerned about is why, when I was over there to do, going over there to do DD, did they release that video? What was the intention of that? Because the coins or the tokens did fly up after that was put out there. So look, I don't know. I'm not going to cast dispersions on them, but that did happen, and the volumes on the tokens were huge after that announcement.
What does it mean with you and your future with the London Football Exchange? You were expected to be chairman in the future. Well, is there any chance of that still happening?
No, not at all. I mean, the deal was it was going to be a erroneously. So when they bought the club, I was going to go on as chairman. We picked the 1st of March for that. So I haven't been appointed. I haven't signed any documentation to do it. No, absolutely not at this stage. Or at any stage would I contemplate that. And, again, I would have to sign a piece of paper for that to happen, and I haven't.
So you never sign anything, not back on the in December, not in January?
No, I actually did sign to start, subject to the deal being done, to be chairman of the LFE Football Group, which is completely separate. So my role would have only been to run the football club. So the first one would be obviously Perth Glory, so it would be easy, but then I would be in the box seat to going around buying these other clubs. So for me, it was a dream
job.
So you
would have been running the ship, so to speak.
Yes.
Right.
That's
completely dead in the water? And so how's your relationship now that you've told him no deal?
We haven't spoken since that time. So I don't know what will happen with that relationship. But look, like I said on Channel 7, when you meet the guy, he's a colourful character. He's one of those guys that, Arthur Daly, I don't know if you guys remember in the old days, he's one of those knockabouts that you just can't help to get enthused by. So,
There's plenty of con men like that, Tone. I'm not saying that he is, but from what I've seen unearthed about him, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could kick him, and I don't reckon that looks like that'd be very far. That's my own personal opinion. Now, what about for you now then? Where do you go? You've been trying to sell part of this club for a while. You've been very open and honest and upfront about that here on Sports Day numerous times over the years. Where do you go to now? I mean, you've spoken about Malaysia and other interests previously.
What's really made me feel worse about this particular one is every other potential deal I've done was behind closed doors. Like I said, I made a mistake this time by going and being open and honest, but the most important game in the club's history, I didn't want the players up there to find out and read about it on social media, so that's why I did it. But there's been three offers, but look, Carl, you want the best for Perth Glory, right? I want the best for Perth Glory, all the fans do as well. So I don't want someone coming here and say, well, they want to change this and they want to change that. And, or one of them was going to encumber the club with an enormous amount of debt, which I've managed to avoid all these years. So, there's three negotiations that I've done over the past 14 or 15 years, but it was all kept in secret, so none of this would come out like it has. So I do regret my decision to do that.
Are you a bit embarrassed by the way that it's all unfolded in the end?
Look, embarrassment's not the right word. Disappointment is huge. And look, I've never felt like a pincushion before, but I still feel the pricks, if you want to put it that way. No, because lots of deals go north. Look, if I felt embarrassed of every mining deal that I've ever lost or made a mistake on, I'd be 6 foot under by now. So, I am a deal maker. That's what everyone knows me as in that game. And, I've made heaps of mistakes in that game. So this is more public.
What would you like to say to the Perth Glory fans?
Well, I think they know my passion for the club. It hasn't changed. It hasn't waned. All I need is a partner to help in the future when things will get tough, when there's no salary cap and the bigger clubs will take over. I was in Brisbane. Not one player or fan had a bad word to say. I mean, I don't know if you saw the shots. I have a good relationship with them. A couple of them obviously will be a bit annoyed about the adverse publicity. So, in the end, it's a sorry saga for me, and I've learned a big lesson.
I just noticed that Twiggy Forrest made $862 million last week, I think it was. Maybe he might like to help out at a soccer club. He's already got the rugby played in the same venue. Maybe he might want to transcend.
Look, he's a big rugby man, I believe, so I don't think he will. Not many big rugby guys, fans of rugby, you follow the round ball as much, but... any support would be helpful. But look, all we need is 15,000 paid up members, and that's enough as well. So, you know, if all the fans out there that love Perth Glory that aren't a member, become a member, and we won't have to go through this at all. And you've got me for life.
Will you give Gareth Parker a chance to go toe to toe?
Absolutely. I don't begrudge Gareth. I mean, he's doing his job. The one that I'm really upset about was a completely unrelated article. Had nothing to do with Perth Glory whatsoever. That was on the sports page, but it was really should have been page 3 news today. And it was about a gentleman that you named earlier, Paul Carroll. I mean, he, nothing to do with this whatsoever. Never introduced me, and I even wrote to the journalist and told him he never introduced me to LFE. I'd met LFE, like I said, at the Chelsea game. So for that is the only one that I really am angry about.
We're out of time, I'd love to get you sitting down with Gareth and you two can have a chat together. Thanks very much for your time tonight.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Good on you. Tony Sage, the owner of the Perth Glory. Your calls after this, 922-1882 is the number if you'd like to join us here on Sports Day.